This is a reading, Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying that in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. Looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God had made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all the household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So I, God, gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to reflect upon your word. We pray that you would speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom. Help us to discern the message that you have for each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever experienced something that shook you to the core? I don't mean just a minor little change or some interesting experience, but something that happened to you that really changed who you were, that you just could not continue on business as usual. When I think back on my life, I can think of a number of events that did that for me. One of them is the first time that I remember a dramatic answer to prayer. So not something like, "God, I hope that I can get a good parking spot," or "hope I have a good day," or something like that, but something that was very specific and was answered in a very dramatic way that I could not dismiss it as just a coincidence. And when that happened, that shook me. It really, really shook me, because not only was this proof that God was real, but he knew who I was. He could actually hear me. And I felt this connection with God, and I thought, I can't continue on the way I am. This is something that's going to change everything. Another major change in my life, of course, was when I got married and when I had children. So having a wife and having children, what a life-changing experience. I couldn't just live for myself anymore. I had people who were dependent upon me. I was living in relationship in a way that I had never experienced before. And so that really was a life-changing experience for me. Another one would have been when I thought that I was dying and I was confronted with my own mortality. Of course, I knew that I was going to die at some point, but to really believe that it was something that was in sight, that really affected me. I had to think about what was really important. What were the things that mattered? And so that's something that really, really shook me. Now, what I'm talking about here, the technical term for this is a paradigm shift. Now, what is a paradigm? Well, that's a paradigms, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something really different. Webster's defines a paradigm shift in this way: an important change that happens when the usual way of thinking about or doing something is replaced by a new and different way. Now, this is something that's usually pretty painful. And when we think of examples, even in history, they've always been painful. It's not something that just happens for individuals. It happens for the church. The church has been experiencing paradigm shifts right from the beginning. Some of the ones that came to mind were the first time that the church was a legal religion in the Roman Empire, and they were no longer the victims of persecution. Or the Reformation, which included the rediscovering of salvation by grace and getting the Bible into the language of the people. This was a major paradigm shift for the church. And then there was the separation of church and state, not insisted on by the state, but insisted on by the church. These were huge paradigm shifts. They just changed the way everything would happen after this. I would like to argue that we are in the midst of a paradigm shift right now. And that's what I want to talk about as we look back to the experience of Peter and what happened after his visit with Cornelius. Now, in the previous sermon that I preached, we looked at the story of Peter and Cornelius. And we saw how God had broken down the prejudice that Peter had towards Gentiles, which got Peter into the home of Cornelius, even though he was brought up not to visit with Gentiles, not to eat with Gentiles. He got there, he went in, he preached the gospel, and God accepted Cornelius and the rest of his Gentile household. God poured out his Holy Spirit upon those Gentiles, and Peter recognized what had happened and said, well, how can we withhold baptism from them? Obviously, God has accepted them, and so let us baptize them. So it was an amazing event. It's just an incredible experience. It's one of that handful of events in the Bible. I just would have loved to have been there to see what that was like. And I'm sure it was very exciting for everyone present. But eventually, Peter was going to have to go back to Jerusalem. He's going to go back and he's going to have to answer to the rest of the apostles. I'm going to date myself here by thinking back to the old television show, I Love Lucy, which a number of you, I'm sure, will remember. And if you remember, in that show, Lucy would often get in trouble, and her husband, Ricky Ricardo, would say, Lucy, you've got some splaining to do. Well, that's kind of what was going on here. The Jerusalem apostles were looking at Peter, and they had heard what had happened, that these Gentiles had been accepted into the church, they'd been baptized, but they hadn't converted to Judaism, they hadn't taken on the law, they hadn't been circumcised, they had been just welcomed just as they were, and they were looking at Peter saying, Peter, you've got some splaining to do. They wanted to know, how could Peter do this? This was such an innovation, this was so outside of the box. How could Peter do something like this? And so Peter just shares the story. He says that this was not his innovation. This isn't something that he came up with. He wasn't sitting around thinking, you know what would be really cool is if we could reach out to the Gentiles and let's just forget about the law, let's forget about circumcision, let's just welcome them in. I think that'd be a great idea. That's not how it went. Peter had the same views about Gentiles that the rest of the Jerusalem apostles had. But Peter saw what God was doing. He saw what God was pointing towards in terms of everyone being clean before him and God pouring out his Spirit upon them, welcoming them just as they were. And so Peter says to his critics, he says, who are you to hinder, who was he to hinder what God was doing? And implicit in that was responding to the apostles saying, who are you to hinder? You might not agree with what God is doing, but God is God, and he's sort of in charge. And if he says this is the way it is, this is the way it is. Now, it was still a really hard thing. Officially, the Jerusalem Council accepted it. They agreed, okay, apparently this is what God is doing. But many of them weren't happy with it, and some of them continued to fight it. In fact, this was an ongoing controversy for decades after this event. There were some that were never